Okonu has today sent a passionate plea to her colleagues, judges at the Supreme Court, pleading with them to halt the process to remove her, as she alleges she's been deliberately subjected to mental torture by the investigative committee put together by President John Mahama to probe the petitions against her. That is our top story tonight, and we will have all the details for you shortly, including take you to Parliament, where the subject has already left the House divided on its first day back from recess. But first, to a story that has been breaking in the last few minutes. The Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP, Nchibosi Akol, popularly known as Chairman Wontumi, has been arrested and detained by the Economic and Organized Crimes Office, EOCO. He was picked up following a visit to the Criminal Investigations Department headquarters today. Yesterday, the police CID officially cautioned him for allegedly engaging in mining operations without a license, polluting water bodies, and unlawfully entering a forest reserve. He's being investigated on these issues. We understand he's currently being held at the EOCO headquarters. My colleague Latif Idrisu is there for us and joins us live. Latif, what can you report?
Yeah, Kojo Brave, you are absolutely right and spot on that. As we speak now, I'm currently at the EOCO building, and I'm looking at a very fortified EOCO, which looks a bit different from the regular days when you pass by this particular building. Today, it is fortified. You have, EOCO officials strapped with guns and with body armor, with headgears, well protected, guarding the building. And like I mentioned, this is quite different from the usual when you walk by or you drive past the EOCO building. And it is because of what is happening here. It has to do with what you just mentioned in your intro right there about the arrest of Chairman Wontumi. And if you recall, yesterday he was at the CID headquarters. He had turned himself in upon an invitation by the police. Now, today, a follow-up, he went to the CID headquarters with the intention of reporting as part of his bail condition, only to be picked up by who have brought him here, and he's currently holding, and already the party people are gathering here in the front of the EOCO building, and this is just the beginning. The suspicion is going forward. If Chairman Wontumi is not released within the next few minutes, we're going to have a huge number of sympathizers, supporters, followers of the New Patriotic Party, massing up here at the EOCO building to protect and call for the release of the chairman of the New Patriotic Party, as they did yesterday. I'm referencing the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the New Patriotic Party.
Interesting. Do you have the party members entering the EOCO office? Have you seen any movement there?
For now, we have them outside the main building of EOCO. So far, I cannot report about any entry of any official of the New Patriotic Party. Nana B, I can see, is the topmost official of the New Patriotic Party here. There are others though, but he is, if you look around, you say he is the topmost official of the New Patriotic Party. Secretary, I'm told, is also around, but I've not spotted him around. But I'm told he is around. Yeah, let me try and see if I could get hold of the secretary of New Patriotic Party to tell us, what exactly is going on with Chairman Wontumi. I'm sure he would have inside information about the interrogation of the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the New Patriotic Party is concerned. I'll try and catch JFK if I could.
Okay, Latif, so we have Kodia himself with us, so let me try and get him here. Kodia, grateful to you for joining us here. Now, what briefing have you received so far at EOCO?
Good evening, and good evening to your cherished listeners. Just this evening, around 4 p.m. thereabout, I received a call from a cousin of Chairman Unchumi that after attending to the invitation by the Ghana CID, on his way out, and when he had sat in his car, his car was surrounded by some four pickups. And as at that point, there was a bit of confusion because he didn't know what was really happening. Initially, they were thinking that they were officers from the NIB, but eventually they were told that they were from officers from Yoko. So when we got wind of the news, I myself and the national organizer and the third vice chairman came to Yoko. So as I speak to you now, we are at Yoko. And when I inquired from them, they said that they are doing some investigation or some putting certain things together. And when they are ready, they will come back to us. So as it stands now, we are still at Yoko.
So you don't know exactly on what charges he's been picked up by Yoko?
No.
Have you been allowed access to him?
No. We have not been given up the chance to meet with him.
And the reason is that they are still conducting, they are putting things together before?
Well, that's what we have been told.
So what does the party intend doing now? I mean, now that you're there?
Well, we are very surprised because this is a person who was invited by the Ghana Police Service and he honored that invitation. So if indeed, in good faith, Yoko also wanted to invite him, they could have also done so. Sometimes we don't need to create unnecessary tension and unnecessary discussions which could have been avoided. No one is above the law. We all agree. We are all respecters of the law. But at least for the sanctity of our state institutions, for the sanctity of our democracy, at least we don't need to go through drama, this one more style of arresting people and trying to show that we are in government and we have the power. That's not necessary. That's not necessary at all, where we have gotten to as a country. And it reminds me of the statement that the president made when he was being sworn in, that he's going to be a father for all. And he said that even saying that didn't go on well during our MPP's time, he will make sure that it doesn't repeat it. And what we are seeing, if the kind of resetting that they are resetting the country, then I'm afraid for our democracy. At least, if you want to invite someone, let us go through the normal process, just like what the police did. But I don't know what Yoko intend to achieve with this kind of Rambo-style arrest.
So I mean, once you are displeased with the way they took him, what's your game plan to try and deal with the issue?
Well, first and foremost, we need to ascertain the reason for his arrest. Once we get to know the reason for it, then as a party, then we take the next line of action. And per our constitution, and certainly he cannot be held beyond 48 hours. So even if they want to keep him, well, they have the right to do so. By the end of the day, he will still be entitled to all the legal processes. But we don't need to go through this unnecessary tension at this point in our country.
Is he there with his legal representation or he's there alone?
Well, a lawyer up here could be, I'm told, is with him now.
Do you foresee him being kept there over the night?
Well, I'll be surprised. Because we are politicians, we understand the job. We pick someone around 4, getting to 5 in the evening. I don't know what their intentions are, but to be honest with you, I'll not be surprised if he's kept overnight.
You see it more of a political game?
Well, for what is happening, what else conclusion can I draw? Certainly, that is what we are witnessing. Because if genuinely, if in good faith, you want to invite him, you can write to him. And that does not prevent Yoko from doing their work. So if there are issues, there's a right process for you to go through. Inviting him does not change anything, does not harm the institution. They can do that. But why this kind of Rambo-style arrest with cars surrounding his cars and with armed men causing scene on the public street? Is that necessary at this time?
Well, okay. So you will be there till he's released, or what your target?
Well, so we are waiting to hear if they indeed will communicate to us as to why they are keeping him, or if they intend to keep him overnight. They will know our next line of action.
All right. I'm grateful to you, General Secretary Justin Kodia, for joining us here on Top Story. He is currently at the IOCO headquarters, where we understand that the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP, Chairman Wuntumi, is being kept for interrogation as to why or what charges. We've not been able to get details, but we understand that the General Secretary Justin Kodia, together with other party faithfuls, are there. Our reporter Latif Idrisu is there, and we will be updating you as and when we do get some update from the IOCO head office there. This is still Top Story. I want to now take you to our main developing story tonight. Suspended Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo has today sent a passionate plea to her colleagues, judges at the Supreme Court, pleading with them to halt the process to remove her, as she alleges she's been deliberately subjected to mental torture by the investigative committee put together by President John Dramani Mahama to probe the petitions against her. Now, the Chief Justice herself has now filed supplementary affidavit in support of interlocutory injunction against the current process, in which she's tearing into the conduct of the committee hearing the petition, calling for her removal. My colleague Papani Ashele joins me in studio with more from this petition. Papani, she reveals that she's not being told the basis on which the prima facie case has been determined.
Well, Brace, to bring to you excerpts of that statement or that affidavit is that on the 23rd of May 2025, notwithstanding receipt of the processes filed in the Supreme Court, including the application for interlocutory injunction, the members of the committee, she wrote, indicated their resolve to proceed with the conduct of the inquiry. Now, it goes on to say that this was so, even though I have to date not been told the basis for the determination of a prima facie case against me and the specific allegations in respect of which a prima facie case has been established for me to answer to enable me determine my legal rights or prepare a defense to the charges against me, Brace.
She then talks about her lawyer not being recognized by the committee.
Well, yes, in that same affidavit, she says that on the same previous adjourned date of the committee sitting of the 15th of May 2025, at which I was represented by counsel, the committee refused to recognize my counsel simply because I was not personally present, and proceeded to fix subsequent hearing dates and make arrangement for the hearing without involving my counsel, even though, she says, the counsel was present. The committee, she says again, shockingly, simply refused to recognize the same counsel on whom it had served a hearing notice only a day before, Brace.
Now, she goes further in this affidavit to talk about, the fact that the commissioner is sidestepping known rules of procedure.
Well, that she says that the committee on the set 23rd of May 2025, contrary to known rules regulating the proceedings of committees and commissions of inquiry, indicated that the petitioners shall not give evidence themselves, but shall be calling other witnesses to give evidence to support their petition. That this is completely offensive to known rules of procedure regulating the work of committees, commissions of inquiry, as the so-called petitioners or complainants, when they formally appear before the committee or commission of inquiry, are mere witnesses. And this is what she's saying, that the status quo is that petitioners, when they appear before such a commission of inquiry, are mere witnesses whose evidence will have to be taken and cross-examined on oath by the person affected by the proceedings. And she says that as it stands now in this case, that has been turned upside down, and it's been done the other way around, where the petitioner, she says, have told the committee that they will not be given, their words will not be their evidence. However, they'll be relying on witnesses to make their case.
Then she brings in the case of she being subjected to mental torture.
Well, Brace, on that subject matter, she was very extensive on it. I'll walk you through some of the things she says. She says that there are other developments like the denial of access into the hearing room for my husband and children, searches on my body, denial of access to telephones and laptops for myself and my lawyers, even though counsel for petitioners, she says, have access to their phones and laptops, and the conduct of the hearing itself in a high security zone at the premises of the Castle Osu show a deliberate, according to her, effort to subject her, Justice Gertrude Tokonu, to mental torture and degrading treatment in violation of what she says are her fundamental human rights. She goes on to say that Article 1 forces proceedings, with the exception of the one I am being subjected to, had hitherto been held in a judicial facility. She says that the article under which she's being queried has, over the years, according to her, been done in the judicial facility, specifically the court's complex. She says the location of the proceedings, which is mentioned, Osu Castle, affect her to, and again, she's cordoned and the high security facility boggles the mind, Brace.
She's going deeper into this. But again, she has a plea to her colleagues at the bench.
Well, she's asking that based on what she says, the persistent violations of the constitutional rights show that the whole proceedings initiated against her, Justice Tokonu, are a mockery of justice and the rules to unjustifiably remove her from the office as the CJ. That, she says, respectfully, she prays for the court to intervene by granting an injunction to prevent the assault on judicial independence and also to protect the security of tenure of CJs and justices of superior courts of justice at play in the instant case, Brace.
All right, thank you very much, Papani Ashale there. Also tonight, the government is preparing to legislate new rules to guide the removal of Supreme Court and other Superior Court judges. The announcement made by the majority leader, Mahama Yar'Adua, on the floor comes as the Chief Justice, Gertrude Arabe-Isaba Tokonu, is currently logged in the process seeking to remove her. The process has so far been criticized by the opposition NPP, which she says it is simply an attempt by the NDC to unfairly remove the CJ. We'll hear from him shortly, but first, let's hear from Deputy Minority Leader Patricia Apiejie, who described the effort underway as a shameful attempt to subdue the judiciary and pack the courts with NDC loyalists.
Audacious attempt by the presidency to undermine judicial independence have reached dangerous proportions. The nation watched in disbelief as the executive launched brazen efforts to remove the Chief Justice of the Republic, an assault not merely on one officer holder, but on the very sanctity of the judicial branch. At the same time, the president is seeking to pack the Supreme Court with loyalists. 7 nominations in one swoop, clearly designed to bind the hands of the Judicial Council and tilt the highest court in the land towards executive interest. Equally troubling is the identity of the legal practitioners leading this crusade. While the right to counsel is sacrosanct and every citizen is entitled to legal representation of their choosing, it is profoundly disquieting that the lawyers spearheading the campaign against the Chief Justice are individuals publicly known to have represented or are still representing both the President and the Speaker of Parliament in active legal matters.
Patricia Piaget is deputy minority leader there. Our parliamentary affairs correspondent, Kwaku Asante, has been in parliament the whole day, and he joins me on the telephone lines with details. Kwaku, first, let's start from the majority leader. Did he explain what form these new rules will take?
No, because Article 146 of the 1992 Constitution, which is already an entrenched provision, provides the rules that guide how to remove superior judges, particularly Supreme Court judges and the Chief Justice. And that is what is currently being implemented. In his speech, he did indicate that these are going to be rules that will guide how Superior Court judges are removed. That will be from High Court to the Court of Appeal to the Supreme Court and the Chief Justice, him or herself, whoever will be in that office. But it would appear that the government has taken a position that the constitutional provisions as it is currently does not detail the process enough, given the concerns that have been raised about the fairness of the process. Listen to Mahama Yar'Adua as he delivered the welcome remarks on the floor and gave the information about this development.
By the time we finish passing these bills, the legal architecture of Ghana would have received a significant overhaul. Right, Honourable Speaker, the Attorney General will also introduce several subsidiary legislation. They include the Corporate Insolvency and Restructuring Regulations, the Court of Appeal Rules, Economic and Organized Crime Office Operations Regulations, Economic and Organized Crime Office Terms and Conditions of Service Regulations, High Court Civil Procedure Amendment Rules, Interpretation Regulations, Judicial Service Terms and Conditions of Service Regulations, Legal Aid Commission Regulations, Supreme Court Rules, and very significantly, removal from office of justices of the Supreme Court rules. The President, John Dramani Mahama, is determined to fast-track legislative reforms to strengthen our institutions of governance and further entrench our democracy. The President is committed to legislative clarity with transparency when it comes to the constitutional mechanics of the removal of justices of the superior courts.
So that's the majority leader there. Let's now go on to the phone lines now and bring in Godfrey Yeboah-Dammeh. He is former Attorney General and also lead counsel for the CJ in this particular matter. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Your client is talking about she being subjected to, things that go against her human rights. As a legal counsel, why is she making that point now? Do you know?
You're asking why she's making that point now?
Yes, yeah. Because, you've been with her. You know exactly what is happening.
Yes, everything is contained in the processes that we filed before the court. And we just asserting our inalienable rights. I mean, the inalienable rights of every citizen, no matter how highly placed or lowly placed in society. It is a right that even persons who are standing trial for the grievous offences against the state, treason, even stealing, causing financial loss, and all that, are given. And therefore, it is quite mind-boggling that the whole Chief Justice is denied such basic rights. And that's why we're in court. And I'm sure you're aware.
But in terms of the basis on which the prima facie case was determined, if you read through the process for the removal, it is not quite clear whether or not she has to be told.
I'm not prepared to re-argue the matter. I mean, the matter is in court. I thought you were going to ask me specifically about this specific constitutional instrument that is that has been mentioned by Mahama Yar'Adua. As for the merits of my action, that will be argued tomorrow. I'm not prepared to argue tomorrow. I'm not prepared to argue on radio. It is that I'll argue tomorrow.
But here your client is alleging that, for example, when they go to the hearing, her phones and laptops are seized while the petitioners have theirs. And that's why we want to really understand whether or not you've been able to ask the committee why that is happening.
Well, there have been series of violations against my client's rights, fundamental human rights, dignity, and what have you. I mean, these are matters that we complained of for a long time. And I'm not surprised that it continues. It continues because of the secrecy of the proceedings. It continues because there has been a lack of light shed on the proceedings. And
clearly, you see even how they are holding proceedings at a very strange location within the premises of the castle. And this is all part of a process to work mental torture against my client. I think this is all I can say for now. The merits of the application will be argued tomorrow.
But the mental torture, when I read it, I was a bit sad. I mean, how was that playing out really?
Well, quite serious. I mean, for a woman who has served Ghana for upwards of about 30 years, she's been the Justice of the Superior Court for almost 30 years. She's been at the bar for 40 years, almost 40 years. She was called to the bar in 1986 and all that. So it's surprising that the person who is the head of the judiciary, that institution of state, which is supposed to be the protector of rights, and that institution which has actually been guaranteeing the rights of all Ghanaians, that person who has such an institution will be denied such basic rights. It's actually very ironical and something that every decent Ghanaian ought to ponder about.
How's she coping?
And enter proceedings for removal of yourself as the fourth highest office holder of the land, and you are denied access to have your, denied the right to have your husband in the room with you. Your body is scanned by male persons. Clearly, I mean, this is torture.
Male persons scan your body.
And apart from that, most importantly, you go to proceedings, notice of the charges not given to you, the specific charges in respect of which you are supposed to answer, not made known to you, and a case management is agreed on with the counsel for the petitioners, whose presence in the matter is even of concern to me. Because under every known rule governing the conduct of Commission of Inquiry proceedings, if you make a petition to which results in setting up of a Commission of Inquiry to prove a public matter, you're mere witness. And the commission is supposed to have a lawyer, counsel. This is the first time we're having the conduct of committee or commissions of inquiry proceedings. So whatever is going on, for as far as I'm concerned, is totally alien and offensive to every rule of justice that this country has been known to have adopted for itself over the decades.
How is she holding up?
Well, she's coping, as I always said. Yes, she believes very much in the word of God. She has said to me that if David was able to bring down a Goliath with an instrument which was innocuous, supposedly harmless, yes, anything at all is possible. She continues to have faith in the word of God. She also continues to seek inspiration from other great men in the history of the world who had to go through such trials and tribulations. But today I was quite intrigued. I'm surprised that you're not addressing this issue about the enactment of regulations to govern Article 146 proceedings. You just played a tape of Mahama Yar'Adua reading out in Parliament regulations that will be laid by the Attorney General. It's something that's of interest. And that's why, I recall that the Martin as Attorney General, such regulations were actually drafted by the drafting division of the Office of Attorney General. So by the time I left office, those regulations were ready. So when I take up these courses, it's actually because I know that it is just and proper, and indeed steps have actually been taken by the Office of Attorney General to ensure a guarantee of the rights of Ghanaian citizens who go through Article 146 procedures. The Office of Attorney General, by the time I left, had fully enacted regulations. I made a comment about it on one of the radio stations, and this actual business actually existed. They only failed to undergo the full process of stakeholder consultations in order for them to be laid before Parliament. And then the MPP lost power on 6 January 2025.
So you are aware of this process?
Yes, fully. Mm. I was aware of it.
Okay.
I reviewed it.
Now,
fully completed, was set, and it contained all requirements for prima facie determination, how it should be done, service of the petition itself on the person affected before there's any consultation at all. to be engaging by the president of the Council of State.
Okay, so with the case being called tomorrow, will the CJ be there herself?
I mean, she's a law-abiding citizen, and the matter affects her, and it's not just a matter affecting her personally. It is one that is of grave importance to the entire judiciary. I mean, this matter is not personal to just Tokuno. It is one that that affects and touches the dignity of the judiciary as an institution, and is one that actually seeks to protect the independence of the judiciary as well as the security of tenure of judges in the country. And even goes with the judiciary. You realize that in the constitution, the whole gamut of public office holders who are supposed to also enjoy the privilege.
So I guess she'll be there. She'll be there herself.
Of course, I'm saying yes. I mean, she's the head of the judiciary. Mm. She will serve the judiciary if she has had to take out a writ in the courts of Ghana, and definitely is of good health. Definitely she'll be there, and I'm sure she'll be there.
I'm grateful to you. Godfred Yeboah-Dame is a former Attorney General. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connect and Energies. Up next is Newsnight.